it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Monday. Gary, how in the heck are you?
I'm doing really good, and I'm just checking here. I'm just reading something here. The show's interfering with my reading.
Yeah, good.
Let's see. His leading Senate Republican is questioning whether deletions from more than two dozen cell phone calls used by the special counsel's team in the Trump-Russia probe were part of a widespread intentional effort to scrub data from the devices.
I'm sorry. How many cell phones were wiped clean?
25.
All right.
Apparently, a ton of people accidentally wiped their cell phones.
All at the same time, all in the same department?
Yeah. Right now, you've got one with Andrew Weissman, one, two, three, four, five that say they accidentally wiped their phone by putting their password in too many times, a wrong password.
Each of them did the same thing.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes. Now, all I know is I have had a cell phone of some sort since that I purchased. I had a work cell phone that I used basically for personal, I think, from 94 to 97.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 97 was when I actually bought my first cell phone.
Yeah, I had a mobile phone, the kind you had to anchor into the floorboard of your car. I had one of those actually early
Did you really?
On. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which was a radio actually. It wasn't a cell phone, but it was a mobile phone.
Yeah, I had the flip phone.
Yeah.
It was the first one that I had. And I got it from work.
Yeah.
Because they just when I would do when I did local talk radio, you'd have to go out and do remotes and do things like that, and they just said, "Well, forget about the huge thing. Just take your cell phone out. You won't need an engineer and just call in and say I'm out here." And,
right.
And so they did that to save money, and they said, and you can use it for your personal, personal whatever, but don't use that many minutes. So back then, you never stayed on the cell phone for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It was just checking in, you know.
Right.
Hey, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. Okay, bye. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a big, but it was great to have. I'll never forget having that first one. It was like, wow. But I have never in my life, with the variety and number of cell phones that I've ever had, ever actually accidentally wiped out all the data. Has anybody else?
Nope. I haven't. And what are the odds that that many people all at once would put the wrong password in and have their phone wiped as a result of it?
What kind of phone does that?
I don't know. I don't have an iPhone. I've never had an iPhone, so I don't know if an iPhone does that or not. I don't know. I've always had Android. So,
yeah. Same with me. So, but that's interesting. But good morning, everybody. Have a good weekend.
No, I didn't. Actually, I did. I didn't do anything. It was great too because you were telling me a bunch of stuff about social media. I didn't spend any time on social media this weekend. You know, went and watched the grandkids play some ball. Interestingly enough, no one on either team took a knee. Even when the coach said take a knee at the end of the game, they said, no, we're Americans. We're not doing that.
I wanted just to see with the beginning of the NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a fascinating sociological experience. I didn't comment at all.
Right.
Because I didn't have that much time. And that's one of the reasons I haven't, because the problem about social media is you can make a statement, and unless it's completely and totally encompasses the totality of your argument,
which is almost impossible.
Which is almost impossible to do.
Yeah.
The other side will deflect onto something else.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about this over here? And then, as I noticed, and number one with the whole NFL and the kneeling and everything else, everybody has it wrong. I'm getting to the point where I think we're the only ones in America that have the only media outlet that have explained, that went back and explained exactly what Kaepernick was all about and mm-hmm. how that all happened
mm-hmm.
and what he actually was protesting about. I will say this. Everybody that I looked at over the weekend, media, friends, everybody
yeah.
does not know the situation.
Right.
Or they're pretending they don't know the situation. It's no longer about kneeling. It's no longer about disrespecting the national anthem.
No.
That's not the major problem that we have had. We did back 4 years ago. That was the major mm-hmm. problem 4 years
separate
ago.
Separate issue.
That's a separate issue. Right. That's a separate issue from what the issue is now. And it's like everybody wishes to ignore it, especially conservatives who are still watching football.
Yeah. Right. Well, here's my question based on, you know, the back and forth and what I saw this evening, you know, getting ready for the show. Who is it that's expecting that no one will kneel? If you're a conservative, do you really expect that no one will take a knee? Of course they will. Because my point is if you're waiting for somebody to take a knee and then you're out, well, then you tuned in, you spent way too much time already. If that's your position, that I'm going to tune out as soon as somebody takes a knee.
And that was one thing that I saw. And the other thing that I saw is they were simply saying, well, everybody has a right. These are conservatives. They're saying, mm-hmm. you know, I feel a little guilty. I shouldn't be watching. And I understand that, but I really enjoy it. And I don't want to give in to them. And everybody has a right to freedom of. And I'm like, that's not the issue. You're talking the issue 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. The issue now is completely different. And the issue now, I look at it as an issue that when we've been promoting it for since the riots, began, and it's a very, very simple, and it gets people mad when you do it because you're accusing them of promoting hate. But when you break it down, because I did see this over the weekend, because this is the thing, somebody would, a conservative would write, or somebody who claims they're a conservative would write and say, the kneeling thing has to go. And then the response would be, see, you're a racist because this was all about unity. Mm-hmm. You know what we saw, remember, it started with the game the other night. Yeah. This is all about unity. And then they get off topic. Right. I don't care whether it's about unity. You don't disrespect the flag and claim to want unity. That's not the issue.
No.
The issue started and continues to be that Black Lives Matter and the Democrats promoted the fact, and they continue to promote the fact, that there is systemic racism in police departments across the country to kill, hunt down, and kill blacks. That's where this all started.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you see is companies saying, we're fighting systemic racism. Well, the only systemic racism charge that came was from where? The police department. There's systemic racism in police departments to kill blacks. I'm not going to lecture you and tell you not to watch a game. You can do whatever you want. It's a free country. We're just telling you what the message is that you're sending and what you're actually agreeing to.
Right.
Not based on our opinion, but what Black Lives Matter, activists in the NFL, and Democrats have promoted over and over and over again, that racism is systemic in police departments to hunt down and kill down blacks. That is a complete and total lie, and that lie only does one thing. It inflames and promotes racial divisiveness. That is promoting hate. It is one of the biggest lies ever told since I've been covering politics. And as we have said over and over again, it's easy to prove.
Yeah.
The empirical evidence is all on the side of 370 million interactions each and every year. 370 million interactions a year between police and the general public. 240 million 911 calls. And 26, roughly 26 to 30 million traffic stops, depending on the year. Each and every year.
Right.
Every year we have a couple of cases where you say, not sure. And every single case that has started every single police shooting, that has started all these massive riots, and got that statement and that mindset out there and promoting it. Every single police shooting, there is not one charge of any type of hate crime or anything racist to do with it. And so by doing it, by supporting the NFL, by the NFL doing what they're doing, the NFL is enabling hate. Every corporation that has promoted systemic racism, it only relates to one thing, and that was the original charge, is promoting hate. We have said this now for months, by the way, to zero debate, because we haven't added anything to it. We have simply stated what the original message is. Because other people on both sides wish to be ignorant of that, and on one side it makes your argument maybe a little bit weaker, and on the other side, you're just deflecting because you can't argue the point. Do you think that a year ago you would have two cops shot and have protesters outside the emergency room trying to get in and block it? You think that would happen a year ago? That came directly from the message that police departments, there is systemic racism, and they're out to kill blacks. That's where that came from. So all cops are guilty.
All the violence in recent months comes from that.
So you can do whatever you want, but understand what you're doing. You are enabling organizations that are promoting hate and racial divisiveness based on a lie. That's what hate groups do. It's not about kneeling for the national anthem anymore. That's another topic. You can add that on to it. You cannot say, well, they're not kneeling to the national anthem based on the fact that they're promoting the one of the biggest lies in the history of all politics. This isn't about politics anymore. I saw that a lot over the weekend from, you know, it's just politics is in. I'm not going to not watch football just because of politics, even if I disagree with the politics. It's not politics. It's hate. They're not kneeling. They're not doing it over the fact that, well, we believe the taxes should be raised 5% on the rich.
No, it's a lie. It's based on a lie.
Right. It's based on a lie. And one of the biggest lies ever told, with no evidence to back it up, and all of the incidences that they're claiming show systemic racism, there is no allegation in those particular instances that there was any racism involved anywhere. And so that's what I saw over the weekend going on social media, and it was like, wow, just it's amazing. It is amazing the ignorance that exists out there that enables the promotion of hate in our society. I'm really amazed, and I'm extremely disappointed in this country and the corporations out there, the National Football League, the sports leagues out there that have adapted the biggest lie ever told in my life of politics in order to instill and create racial divisiveness between people based on a complete lie.
And this is how those lies find a permanent place in the presentation of ball games or anything else.
Yep.
As if you don't address them. If you don't address them, if you don't confront the lies, then nobody that and if that's the way it's again, if you're off topic, if you're not going to face the actual issue here, then it's not going away.
I was following Mark Cuban over the weekend. He was all over the place on it, but he was deflecting tremendously. He would deflect to different topics all the time.
Yeah, because he has to, right.
He has to.
Right.
Because you can't argue. The point we just made, you can't argue because that's what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what they have done. If you want to get in, we got a great show ahead. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Reading Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Right now, let's go to Elon in Reading, Pennsylvania. Elon, welcome. You're on Right Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi there. This is Elon. I've listened to the show through WEEU in Reading, and I love hearing your show, but I have some points that I wanted to pull out. When an officer is on duty and they use a weapon, 0% of the time do they ever file it under, I fired it because it's a hate crime. And whether they're self-reporting or anybody else sees it, nobody...
Again, really, you're deflecting. You're deflecting. You don't sit there and create a movement based on a lack of evidence. You've got to make the... you've got to prove it.
But of all stops made, more...
Again, you're deflecting again. That's not what we're... We're arguing the fact of the message that was sent and endorsed by the National Football League that there is systemic racism in police departments in this country. And by the way, the vast majority of those police departments that they are accusing it of are Democrat police departments in major city, and a significant portion of them led for decades by African Americans.
But what authority admits fault?
That's not the point. You don't argue that way. You've got to make your case that it exists. You have to present the empirical evidence. You don't get to say, "Oh, I just think that this happened." Thank you for making my point. That's what hate groups do. You're doing exactly what hate groups do. Prove it isn't true is your argument. Otherwise, be prejudiced towards a particular organization. That's exactly what you're doing. And that's what hate groups do.
If you bring the charge, you bring the burden of proof.
Yes.
It's on you.
Thank you for making our point.
Yeah.
That's why I went to him, because I said he's going to make the point. And he's going to deflect first, because the point is the message that was sent, and it still exists today. And that's why you had where the cops were shot in California. Mm-hmm. That's why you had a group out there screaming what they were screaming, the reprehensible things that they were screaming. That wouldn't have happened a year ago in this country.
No.
And I know that this is going to get people like Elon and more to be furious because you don't want to admit what you're doing.
No.
Because what you're doing.
Because if you tell the truth, then the entire cause falls apart.
Right. It's evil to sit there and say, I believe this is happening, but I can't prove it.
Yeah, and then put it on someone else to prove that it's not happening.
Right, prove it's not happening. No, burden of proof is on you.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Anytime you bring the charge, you must bring the burden of proof.
Oh, you're saying racism doesn't exist? Nope, not saying that at all.
Not the point.
Saying it's not systemic.
Still deflecting. Here's your forecast.
Tropical Storm Sally in the Gulf of Mexico is expected to make landfall as a hurricane later this afternoon. From New Orleans over to Florida, officials and residents alike are preparing for the major impacts of upwards of 20 inches of rain being forecast, especially right around New Orleans. It's shaping up to be a storm that appears to have potential deadly impact. Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama can expect major flooding throughout the next week. Some much-needed rain will be arriving in portions of the Pacific Northwest, including western Washington and Oregon. Nothing in the way of precip for California, though. Hot and humid, with rain chances across the Deep South extending into the southern plains of East Texas. The rest of the nation, from the Northeast to the Midwest and back into the central and northern plains, will be dry today. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
The Poster Child Radio Show of 2020, Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Welcome and good morning. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Look, we, as we have said, the only people have asked over and over again with this whole thing, what's the solution? The solution is you follow the Constitution, you have transparency in the court system, and you ensure that number one, in my case, politicians shouldn't be taking sides before you know what the facts are, especially when you're a president of the United States, not talking about Trump, talking about Obama, who really, to me, is the on a national level, was the person who really kicked off the let's blame the cop first before we know what the evidence is. You know, when you look at this, and we said before, and I hope the last caller is still listening, because it's extremely important that you do. I know that the accusation that we throw out is very tough for people to handle, but it's the truth. It's what, and so we understand why people need to deflect, because when you are accused of supporting groups that enable hate, it's a tough thing to swallow, especially when you don't think you're doing it. But a lot of people are doing it based on ignorance that they don't even remember what the original charge is. Mm-hmm. How many people call me up and just say, not call me up, but write me and tell me and say, I never knew about the whole Michael Bennett thing. I just didn't remember it. Mm-hmm. And you guys really followed that kneeling the first couple of years, and the kneeling really happened. I mean, where Trump got involved, because this happened before Trump was ever president. People right. think that the kneeling happened because of Trump. There are people that don't know that it happened during the right. Obama administration.
Yeah, I actually saw some of that this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, the ignorance is unbelievable, and we're mm-hmm. only here to tell you what actually was said mm-hmm. and what actually was done. And when I tell people, I go look it up. And they're shocked. They call me back. We didn't know that. Michael Bennett actually, we said, yeah, that's what really kicked off the second year of the kneeling. And that's when Trump got involved in it. And it was based on Michael Bennett claiming that, he was targeted by the Las Vegas police because he was black. Mm-hmm. And the Las Vegas police had the video of it. And he was completely at fault. And when you see the cops afterwards talking to him, it's like, what in the world were you doing? You could have got yourself killed.
Right.
Because they said, I'm Mike, and they got their cell phones on. They said, yeah, it's him. And they looked, and they, with their cell phones right there in the tape, they go, what are you doing? You know, you understand we were called here because we were told there's an active shooter. We told everybody to get down. Get down and stay down. And you got up and ran. Well, we've got to chase you.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned it around completely, but he was targeted because he lied about it.
Yeah.
And that's what created it in the second season.
Right.
And now what we see now in this country was based on the fact of Black Lives Matter and the Democrats promoting over and over again that racism is systemic in police department to hunt down and kill blacks. That's what it was about. That's the accusation. And you can try to deflect and say, are you telling me that there's no police? We're not saying that. It's not whether an individual is bigoted or whatever, because we know. Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Biden. If you're not, you're not black unless you vote to him. How bigoted is that?
Mm-hmm.
As we said, you compare Trump to Biden. Biden has a way bigger history of specific comments, detailed comments, and association with bigots and racist comments. But you have a Democratic Party that admits we practice identity politics. We judge people by groups.
Well, they brag about it. I mean,
they brag about
you know, you had the governor of Georgia, Stacey Abrams, say that it's working and they should keep it up.
Right. You know, you had the NAA chapter president said there's no such thing as blue lives on Twitter Sunday following what appeared to be an ambush-style shooting of two sheriff's deputies in Los Angeles on Saturday. There's no such things as blue lives. Stop comparing your job with my life. Your career is a choice. My blackness isn't. Black Lives Matter. Blue Lives Matter. NAACP Greater Springfield President Robert Swan wrote on Twitter, no one deserves to be unjustly murdered, police or citizens. If you're expressing outrage over the shooting of two sheriff's deputies but were defending Kyle Rittenhouse murdering two protesters in Kenosha only days before. You need to shut up and have a seat. Now, what's he missing here? The tape of the two cops in the car is quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence is quite clear. In the Rittenhouse case, it's not clear. There's a lot of moving parts in that one. Correct?
Well, what you don't know is what is in the mind of Rittenhouse at that point. You don't know what happened up to the points of the where right. the videos were turned on.
There's a lot you
and
don't
everything
know.
Else.
When you make assumptions, what does the NBA promoting hate get you? It gets you LeBron James speaking and speculating on the Jacob Blake case.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the cops probably had a bad day, or the cops were. All his speculation was the cops had done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the suspect, that now we know much more about the suspect, gets a pass.
Yeah.
That's immoral and wrong, but that comes from the fact of the belief that cops are out to hunt and kill blacks. That's where that came from the LeBron James. It's false, but that's what it creates. And it justifies the last... It justifies in people's mind where they can say, well, prove it isn't happening. Well, then let's just riot because I can't prove anything of my conspiracy theories, but they're very upsetting conspiracy theories. Because think about it. You've got people out there actually believing. And some of them may have been in Los Angeles that actually believe that cops in a systemic way that they're colluding together to hunt down and kill blacks. Because a year ago, have you ever heard that happening in your life? Of two police officers being ambushed, you know, style targeted like that, and people going to the hospital afterwards, actually trying to break into the emergency room where cops had to be called?
No.
And screaming the foul things that they were screaming, hoping that the cops would die. Has that ever happened before?
And I've never seen that.
It comes directly from the message that Black Lives Matter and the Democrats have been sending out for the longest time. And it's a horrible message. And it's a bigoted, racist message based on a lie that corporations are backing, the NFL is backing, the NBA is backing. It's not about unity. Probably a lot of those Kansas City fans the other day that were booing were saying, excuse me, don't sell me unity. Don't try to sell me unity when I know what you're selling is bigotry and intolerance. Don't gift wrap that as you. That's what's going on.
Well, we said this has become dangerous, and this is exactly what has happened. All the violence is a result of this. When you have an all-out endorsement by corporate America and major organizations, what do you think's going to happen? When you're carrying on a lie, and that lie is that systemic racism exists, what do you think's going to happen next? The police become targets.
Well,
and here we are.
Well, that's why the entire defunding police is based on the fact that they're killing blacks and it's systemic racism,
right.
So they need to be eliminated.
Right.
Where do you think the hell this is going to lead?
Because that's the next step. If you believe that they're on the hunt for African Americans, then you believe they must be stopped.
And yeah, I get a little bit infuriated because I see ignorant people arguing things which isn't even the message that is being sent, while clearly you see the message is being absorbed by many people, as we saw over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so far beyond football, it's not even funny.
Yeah. This is so far beyond what's going on, you know, exactly in football. This is about a society, major corporations, major sports leagues, major athletes endorsing a lie to instill racial divisiveness and hatred between people. That is what's systemic. What's systemic is the bigotry, intolerance, the race baiting, the racial divisiveness, the racism based on a lie, which is coming now from the left. And it's that's what's being institutionalized.
Right.
Let's tell a lie. Let's tell the biggest whopper in the world. Let's make something up. Let's call all cops potential murderers based on racism. And that they're all in it together. And we'll try to sell things on it. And we're a major corporation and we'll back it up. And we're the NFL and we'll back it up. And we're the NBA and we'll back it up. That's the issue here.
And you can't back out of that endorsement. The NFL, the NBA, they're in. And they'll be in it probably for the foreseeable future. It's going to be years. You can't back out of something like this. And when you don't confront the truth, if you don't confront the truth, then ignoring the truth, ignoring the actual issue, is going to continue to lead to things like this.
Yep.
It's going to continue to be dangerous. Look away. And it becomes something separate.
You know, we had said this a long time ago when the message you actually send out when, Trump is Hitler, Bush is Hitler, whatever. Well, actually, what you're saying is this is somebody who's willing to kill 6 million people.
Right.
And that's how far you've gone. Well, now they've taken it even past then, the normal political rhetoric, to focus on police departments.
Right.
And make a completely false statement against police department in order to instill racial divisiveness inside our society. That's exactly what hate groups do.
Yep. And not targeted just at one person. It's an entire group of people.
This is an entire group of people. Right. Right.
And again, unless we confront the truth, this will continue. Because if the lie continues and it's endorsed as the truth, then where do you think this is going to go?
What you saw this weekend.
This is exactly where it goes. This is where it goes, and it continues in that direction until everybody confronts the truth.
That mob was outside. That has not happened in my history. I don't remember anything like this happening where cops have been ambushed and done that.
No.
Why? Because they felt that's more in the mainstream.
Right.
That they would get approval for doing it.
Well, they were getting, again, endorsements. You're getting endorsements by major organizations and corporations. What do you expect? They believe they're heroes now by showing up and shouting things like they were shouting and wishing that they were that they would die. This is exactly what you get. When we said it's becoming dangerous, this is it. We are at a very dangerous crossroads.
If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, stereotyping, that's what gets you there. As I said the other day, I've had two police encounters, not traffic stops or anything like that, where I felt the intimidation of police. Mm-hmm. And these are police departments, and it was in the media, and trying to find out the truth of possible corruption in police departments. So I've been there before, and as I've stated, I was in my office one day when the FBI showed up at my office to let me know if I have any type of encounter with the police and I'm uncomfortable to give them a call. So when the FBI shows up at your office, believe me, I felt it. I also, the only time I have ever been a victim of a crime, an encounter with a person, was an armed robbery with knives, and it was all young black men that did it.
Mm.
All right? They didn't get much money. I was only a senior in high school, but that's the only... Now, I could look at it and I could form general stereotypes, right? Well, that would be wrong. We had the caller before talking about the fact that you know, that, you know, more blacks are likely to be arrested. Well, we know the statistics. Blacks commit way over their percentage of a population, especially in violent crime. Does that mean that I'm going to say that there is systemic criminal minds in all blacks to commit violent crime? No. Just like I wouldn't say there is systemic racism in police because of a few incidents a year that you really can't tell it was a close call what the cop should have done or not done.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, coming up on the show, is Biden becoming Izzy Mandelbaum? You're like, who?
Now, cupcake?
I know you know who Izzy Mandelbaum is.
Yeah, I've been making this point for a while.
Biden argues he's in better shape than Trump. Just look at us.
Yeah, just look at us.
Izzy Mandelbaum. Yeah. If you don't know who Izzy Mandelbaum is, that was from a Seinfeld episode, and that was, I can't think of his name, the guy from...
Lloyd Bridges,
yes, mm-hmm. from yeah. When he was a scuba diver was the show that I watched as a kid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
And but he's Mandelbaum.
You know, it's... We knew it was going to come to that point. I've been making this observation for a while that Biden is out to challenge everybody. You know, and of course, during an election, you are out to challenge, well, your opponent. But not to push-ups. That's not the point. And I think that when you see this going on right now, it's a continuation of the... I don't know. Bizarre behavior by Biden. But it was inevitable we were going to get to this point. Now, here's the question. What's the over-under on an actual challenge on the debate stage September 29th, the first debate, or any of the debates, an actual push-up challenge by Biden? Oh, please make that happen. Please make that happen.
Mandelbaum.
Please make that happen.
What is it? Let's go? What did they? What was it?
I forget what his little catchphrase was.
Yeah, he had a little catchphrase. But, you know, somebody will remind us on Twitter.
Well, you got to keep in mind, too, that Biden was the one who said, I've got to pick a Veep who is ready to go, that's younger, and ready to be president because I'm an old guy. The audience in the room laughed. And he said, no, I'm being serious. Well, that's all you need. He's fully aware. He knows.
And since we're, you know, a lot of talk on the NFL and social media and a lot of people, I'm sure, discussing it around the country, Colin Kaepernick not happy. While the NFL runs propaganda and how they care about black lives, they're still actively blackballing Eric Reed. For fighting for the black community, Eric set two franchise records last year and is one of the best defensive players in the league, end of quote. So there you go. It's all just propaganda by the NFL. They really don't care.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next thing. You need to hire the people that we tell you to hire.
Right. How long before they get around to Joe Namath?
We want Joe back on the field.
It's Well, here's my thing.
Not the right color.
Well, right. Well, but here's the question, though. But with Colin Kaepernick, is there any self-awareness there? What's his goal? Is his goal to get other players hired? Does he forget about where everybody is focused these days? You know, I mean, it really is interesting to watch this whole thing, you know, play out. Because inevitably they do have to get to a point of issuing, you know, their demand, their direct demand, mm-hmm. what they want. And I don't mean to the NFL behind closed doors. I don't mean to the commissioner. I don't mean to ownership. I mean to the fans. They need to make it clear. I mean, if they're actually going to get to a legit point, which I don't think they are. They just want to protest. They want to have, you know, Kaepernick and LeBron and all of them want the opportunity to put on their Superman cape, you know, and be the hero. Okay, to what end? What is it you're trying to do? What is it you're trying to accomplish? What is it that you want? Because you started that article with Colin Kaepernick is unhappy. Well, breaking news would be Colin Kaepernick is happy because it would mean that there was something that was achieved in his mind. But there won't be because that's not the way this rolls. That's not the way this is going to end. In fact, it's not going to end. That's the whole point.
You know, when you see what's happened, there seems to be no concern from Black Lives Matter or the Democrats, that black police chiefs are being forced out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, the black police chief of Detroit said, nope, I'm staying. Now, there's a call for the black mayor of Buffalo, New York, to resign.
Mm.
There seems to be no discussion on those things at all.
Right.
Zero.
Right. Yeah, no, I you know, because who would care, right?
Who would? Well, I mean, what is it about? As we've said before, you know, we're still on the Jacob Blake case. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Me Too has disappeared,
right?
Gone.
Yeah, no, it's over.
It doesn't. But what you have again, and this is why we said what it's so dangerous. What as you said, we're getting to a dangerous point now because what you saw again. I don't know why the ambush took place. I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not blaming the ambush on anything because I don't know what it's about, and we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We wait till the facts come in any case as to what the motivation or intent was, in that. I don't know. I mean, we don't know if if that person knew one of the cops. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't speak on that. But one thing that we don't until we get more evidence, but one thing we do know, is that in my lifetime, I've never seen two cops that were ambushed and shot and in the hospital, and a mob grows outside the hospital, blocking the doors of the emergency room, screaming that they hope the cop dies. That comes as a direct result of the message the Democrats and Black Lives Matter have promoted this past summer. That comes directly from it, because that's what you get when you accuse police departments over and over again of systemic racism.
Yep.
To hunt down and kill blacks. You have people that actually believe it. And because, as you said, they've legitimized it by corporations embracing it.
Mm-hmm.
By the NFL embracing it, by the NBA embracing it.
Mainstream endorsements.
Because they all use the systemic racism, right?
Right.
They may not finish the sentence. We're against the systemic racism. Well, systemic racism when it relates to what? Oh, blacks being hunted down and killed by police departments because of systemic racism in police departments. Right. They may not want to go that far, but using that term legitimizes the original huge lie that's still being promoted. How do we know? Because of the mob that was there and the number of black police chiefs and mayors and liberal mayors in this country that are under pressure to defund their police department, because you defend the police department because they're flawed and they're racist.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't rocket surgery.
No, it's not.
Let us go to Michael in Baton Rouge. Michael, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for your continued support of those of us in law enforcement. We appreciate it greatly. Your comment is comments have been on point. I don't recall an incident where after an ambush, which is not new, they've gone to the hospital and protested, or they weren't protesting the shooting. Hell, they were supporting it.
Yeah.
Sadly, ambush of police officers is not new. And many have been. The one in Los Angeles, I agree with you, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
So, yes, I can say I have some ideas, but the ones in Dallas, the one we had here in Baton Rouge, both in 2016, those suspects, it was found out that they had written about supporting Black Lives Matter and supporting the idea of eliminating police officers because they're killing unarmed black men, which is nonsense. Just absolute nonsense in that regard. It is certainly not helped. It makes my profession a lot more difficult when we have the continued support of, as you said, the NFL, the NBA,
major corporations,
certain companies.
Yep.
Yeah, the corporations and companies that, okay, no, guys, you can't wear a Blue Lives Matter shirt. You can't wear an All Lives Matter shirt. But it's okay if you wear a Black Lives Matter shirt.
Well, not only that, but their public proclamations of they support and we need to stop the systemic racism that exists in our society. They don't tie it directly to it, but that's the only way. The only phrase that has been completed with systemic racism is police departments. That's how this all started, to, you know, was to hunt down and kill blacks after Minneapolis. Right. And that's what has kept going, just like hands up, don't shoot still. You'll see that was used in a protest in Buffalo just last week. They're all going down, hands up, don't shoot. Never happened.
Exactly. And that's the part that, now, one of the things we looked at in 2016 was where some of this got started. It started by the gentleman in the White House at the time that, again, took a couple of incidents, jumped on board with it without knowing the facts, and then in one particular case, had to get the officer and the college professor together, hey, let's have a beer and settle this out. When it actually came out, the cop hadn't done anything wrong. I think people really started jumping on board with some of that nonsense then. I could tell you, since I started doing this in 1989, nobody that I've worked with, we've never started a shift saying, wow, I wonder how many black guys, Asian guys, white guys, whatever, we can go out and put in jail today, much less how many can we systematically deny their civil rights or take it to the extreme that people would have you believe of going out looking for them to kill them. Not happening. I'm so frustrated that in virtually every one of these cases, we're talking about, sorry, but it's my word, thug, that for whatever reason did not obey the lawful commands he was given. And that's what led to the situation going downhill. You know, the cop didn't start out with it. I just can't. I'm not saying it's never happened.
Right.
But certainly nobody I've ever worked with, nobody I've ever been around, again, in 31 years, have not seen that.
Well, what
something else has led
right.
to that.
And what you have in these cases, and thank you so much, and thank you for being out there and serving the community for such a long time, since 1989. So we're talking 31 years now. That's a long time to be to be out there doing that job.
Yeah.
But when you look at the cases, the vast majority of the cases are split second decisions that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about. Split second decisions where the cop makes it. And they've turned it into premeditated racism that exists in all police departments to hunt down and kill blacks. That's reprehensible. It's evil. It's evil. It's immoral that the NBA, the NFL, corporations have backed this call.
It's inevitable that that kind of call and continuation of a lie and endorsement of a lie would culminate in the reaction that you saw. Right. At the ER for these two LA County sheriff's deputies.
Actually,
it was inevitable that was going to happen.
It's not surprising that it happened.
That's a very dangerous place to be as a society.
Yep. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on drug and alcohol testing. DOT refusal. It's important to know what a DOT refusal to test is, because the consequences are the same as testing positive. If you're told to go for a random DOT test but don't show up or show up late, it's a refusal. Once you're notified, you must immediately proceed to the collection site. You don't have an hour like you may have heard. You only have travel time to the clinic. Other examples of refusals to test include a shy bladder or lung with no medical explanation, leaving the clinic in the middle of a test, not cooperating with the collection process, or substituting or adulterating a specimen. Just like a positive, a refusal requires the DOT return to duty process, and your former employer will report this to future employers when it receives a background check request. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by National Truck Protection and Premium 2000 Plus, the number one selling aftermarket truck warranties in North America, available at thousands of used truck dealers everywhere.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in, let's go to Jay in Kansas City. Jay, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Harley and McNamara.
Hi.
Hello.
I wanted to respond to a caller earlier, and then also you mentioned Kansas City, and as somebody who had a Kansas City Chiefs placemat and Polaroid with Nick the Kick Lowry, from that to even getting to talk with Lamar Hunt, I thought I'd offer you some historical perspective in the change in Chiefs' attitude or stuff. For that, when I was a kid in grade school, used to be able to go up to any cop or crossing guard. They had this promotion where you get a Chiefs playing card, and it would have a Chiefs figure on the front, and on the back of it, it would have a safety tip, and it was a promotion with the Chiefs to go and interact as kids and interact with cops, which is quite the departure.
Wow.
I almost want to pull up one of those cards. I'm not even sure if I still have any of them in, you know, your old keepsake box.
Yeah, that might be worth
it. Interesting to
American pickers might want that.
You show them. Well, it'd be interesting to like go to the football or players and go, yeah, this is what you guys used to do. And then the other thing is, I was one of those few people who I didn't land a multimillion-dollar contract for basketball out of high school, so I went to college. And I took courses in research methods, statistics, logic and critical thinking, persuasive speaking, rhetoric. And with that prior caller, I've heard this same tactic used a lot, and it's the fallacy of trying to prove a negative.
Right.
Like they say Santa Claus exists. Well, yeah. Prove it doesn't exist.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So the simple tactic is just to flip it back on them when they say, well, prove that systematic inequality doesn't exist.
Exactly. Thank you, Jay, for the call. We said that. And if you bring the charge, then you have the burden of proof. That's how
exactly.
that works.
Right.
They can play this game all night long. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Back to your calls and comments we go. Let's go to Joe in Washington, D.C., who is also in law enforcement. Joe, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Great.
You know, I've been in law enforcement for 31 years, and I've seen a lot of things. You know, back in the day, you would enforce quality of life crimes, they called it. You know, you'd have people, you know, minor things, urinating in public, loitering, just things that would attract the attention to the police that you would investigate. And, you know, sometimes that would lead to other things. But, you know, now a lot of cops aren't doing that. And they're just trying to survive day to day while they're on patrol. So a lot of the proactive policing has really slowed down. So, you know, you look at a lot of these major cities and they have one thing in common. Cops being hurt, cops being killed, and crime rates are skyrocketing.
Yep.
In New York City, they did away with the plainclothes units. You know, it seems like people on the streets are more armed than the police.
Well, I mean, you know, this has been the tactic of the left. The leftist leadership in these cities has come in and said you can't approach someone. You know, I mean, gosh, we go back to the Bay Area in San Francisco and look at, you know, what the homeless are doing on those streets. And you talk about the quality of life issues, and we don't have to get into the very grotesque details of what's going on the streets there. But, you know, it's from that policy to everything else where you don't approach someone, you don't question them. You basically have officers standing down as a matter of policy, standing down. Therefore, it never leads them to other crimes in those areas.
Right. And, here's the other thing. Now they're saying, you know, you can be sued. And, you know, they're coming after your retirement. They're coming after, you know, you personally. And, you know, being a police officer, you have a split second to make a decision that can never be taken back. And you never know when that is going to happen. Or you get that feeling, and then you got 45 quarterbacks Monday morning telling you what you did wrong.
Nobody was
sitting there in that seat.
Was that shooting last week?
Had to make that decision.
Was that shooting last week in Washington or Philadelphia? The one that was, I mean, just extremely, yet when it was done in real time, you couldn't believe how quickly that thing developed. I mean, it developed.
Yeah, that
so
was the one with the gang member, right?
Yeah, the gang.
Washington.
Was
that in Washington? The one with the gang member. I mean, that happened so quickly.
Right.
I was amazed at how quickly that the police officer shot.
Yeah.
I mean, how quickly he got off that round while he was running, but sort of coming to a stop as that guy was coming around and raising the gun. But I mean, it was like that. It was, you made the decision right there, right or wrong.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right. And you have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Right.
And, you know, they're releasing your name. They're releasing your address. And, you know, who's going to protect the police officer that's out here doing the job trying to keep society safe?
Yep.
And you know, they're putting up posts on a website to kill police officers' children? Really? So you got to walk around with eyes behind your head when you're home? Well, listen to this. You know the Prime that deliver packages? They come around, they deliver packages.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, one night I came home late from work. And, you know, I got a canine. I got, you know, I'm a canine officer. I got a dog, you know, great dog. And, you know, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, 1:30, and I see headlights at the end of my driveway. The dog's going ballistic. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I'm watching. Guy walks up to my front door. And what do you think I'm thinking?
Yeah, burglar.
One, two, maybe three people?
Yeah.
Right. It's a guy delivering packages at 2 o'clock in the morning on my front porch. But, you know, to him, he's just delivering a package. To me, I'm looking out the window like, whoa, whoa, what's this guy doing? That's
right,
the potential for something to happen.
I didn't know that.
Look at the way I'm thinking.
I didn't know Amazon delivered that late. That's weird.
Well, I do know that in my case, I've had things delivered before 8 a.m. I've had them delivered while it's still dark. And it's rare, but I would order something. I've ordered something, and it says available by 8 a.m. I'm like, okay, great. I'm thinking between 7 and 8 a.m., which is a reasonable hour. And then all of a sudden, I get home at 5 after 5, and it's on its way, and it's still dark outside.
Yeah.
I would think that that has more to do with the policy of the delivery company or the shipper in that case than anything else. But you make the case, Joe, that you know, all you guys and gals who stand behind a badge are always thinking in that mode because that's how you're trained to think. You know, who in the world is bringing something to my door at 2 a.m.? Because that's not safe policy, first of all. And second of all, it is something where if we are going to have a society that is and we are a nation of laws, those laws are nothing if they're not enforced. And they have to be enforced by the very basic investigative beginning is what? Asking questions. That's what an investigation is. Asking questions, finding answers. That's what that is all about. And if you can't even ask a question, then we're doomed as a society. We are no longer a nation of laws.
And as we know, and
Joe, you know,
go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
You go to answer a call for service, and you get the call.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not like you're driving around like you're not doing anything or you get a call for service.
Yeah.
You get out of the car. People are in your face with the phone. F you. What are you doing here? You know, racial epithets, you know, up in your face. I mean, really? Seriously? I mean, this is what this has come to? I got a question for who do you think you're going to get to do these jobs?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to ask. Who's going to want to do these jobs in the future?
Who do you think you're going to get to do these jobs?
You know, I've
got guys now leaving with 23 years on, 2 years from a retirement, and said, I'm done. It's it. I'm over. I'm out.
Yeah.
They said, wait a minute. You know, 2 years. He says, 2 years.
Yeah.
He says, that's an eternity to me. I'm not, and he leaves.
Yeah.
People with 8, 10, 12 years leaving the job.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving.
Yeah.
Well, you experience.
That's.
Guys hit the retirement mark, they leave. There goes your experience. But listen, when I came on the job, I walked out the back of the precinct. I got in a car with a guy with 20 years on. Told me everything I needed to know. He says, hey, you want to make it on this job? I said, yeah. He said, you treat everybody like your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, and you will never have a problem on this job. Now guys walk out the back of a precinct to get in a car. They're getting in the car with a guy that maybe got 1, 2, 3 years on. Who's going to mold the new officer into the culture that they're about to jump into?
Right.
That's you don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
There's no experience.
Right.
It's all gone.
Yeah.
You know, people come to work, and it's a survival game.
Yeah, yeah, no joke.
What am I going to do to go home tonight safe?
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, what was it? Up in New York, the guys went to go get lunch. One day, and they found glass in their sandwiches? Really? That's what this has come to.
And
I mean, it's scary. It's really scary.
Well, and Joe, we thank you for the call. We certainly thank you for your years of service here to your community and your input. You look at that, and whether it's, you know, putting something in food or anything else, think about that. You go back just a few years, you know, if that happened, And we saw this. We did see this at fast food places and restaurants. Oh, we're not going to serve a cop. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And then what inevitably what happened? In the overwhelming majority of those cases, if not all of them, ownership or management came back and said, no, we don't condone that kind of behavior by our employees. That's not welcome here. We welcome all police officers here. Now that you have the corporations endorsing the lie, then what now? Because as that happens more and more, and it's inevitable, it will happen. It was happening before this. It will happen again. It becomes especially dangerous because now you have corporations that are willing or that have gone out of their way and endorsed a lie that makes it especially dangerous for these officers on the job, which makes right. it, in turn, dangerous for every community they serve.
And you and they're wrapping in the package of, as the NFL did, and this is what disgusted me the other day about the Kansas City Chiefs, they wrap it in the whole thing of unity.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that the players aren't ignorant. The players are completely ignorant as to what the message is. The media purposely, because I said, well, can you believe it? There they are, the Kansas City Chiefs fans booing, and they're talking about unity. No, that's how they're gift wrapping it.
Right.
But they're gift wrapping the lie that police departments are systemic, you know, that are systemically racist to kill blacks. And now it's gotten to the point where he was talking about, you know, going after their kids. The whole thing that you see in the protest now, lasers to permanently do eye damage to police. Police if they get the opportunity,
right.
Making sure they get their names so they can know who they are, so they can, you know, dox them and have their addresses public so they can be intimidated and harassed. They get out of their car and the people screaming at them and yelling at them when they've been called to a place. They're not just happening to be driving by and getting out of their cars. They've been called because there's a crime in the community and the community's up in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they've been sold the lie that police departments are systemically racist to kill blacks. And even if they know it's a lie, they know it's been accepted by the major corporations, that the culture is accepting the fact that the devil is the cops. And when corporations, when the NBA, when the NFL, when they all get behind it, what the hell do you get out of it? You get what happens in L.A. over the weekend, a mob blocking an emergency door after two cops have been ambushed and screaming that they hope they die.
Yep.
Because it's been legitimized by a significant portion of our society. That is reprehensible, and that's what it's about.
Yep.
And when you tell that to people, I mean, they're taken back. They're like, oh, you guys really thought this out. No, we're just paying attention. They've been clear on the message.
Well, and if you don't go out and battle the lie, then that lie becomes the truth.
And we'll battle the lie each and every day. And that's what we and when you tell the truth based on what they have said, you don't have to add anything to it anymore.
No.
They can't argue. They can't argue. They'll try to deflect, but they can't argue the point because it's true and it's wrong. And it's evil. And major corporations, the NFL, the NBA, they're all involved in legitimizing the lie, which legitimizes and promotes hate based on a lie. As we always said, tell us where we're wrong. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Yeah, we were just talking about the politics of everything, and Biden came out. And did you see Biden taking the law and order stand yesterday? Yeah. If you break the law, you'll go to jail.
Right.
So
you can't say that.
And that's
you can't say that.
He Biden
and I sat there and I said, okay, now he's embraced Trump's law and order message.
Well,
he can't say law and order, but he said, if you break the law, you'll go to jail.
Is he going to go back and visit Jacob Blake and Jacob Blake's family and tell him that?
I don't know. Don't know. Well, if you look at that, he temporarily at least embraced law and order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the moment.
And, and as we know, he embraced a fracking, has now in has now embraced not having a national mask ban. You know, you and I are talking about the election. I still think it comes down to COVID. I still still think it comes down to what, where the elderly go on this. You know, if the the polls stay, but I still think it goes back to COVID. Yeah, and as I told you, my dad, I guarantee when I talk to my dad tomorrow, he'll say, "Oh, Trump in Nevada, nobody wearing masks."
Mm-hmm.
My dad at 94, they pay attention to it because it's much more serious when you're elderly. And now he's voting for Trump no matter what.
Well, and that's the question is that do they do that and to the extent of staying home or voting for Biden? There's the question. You know, I don't.
Well, they vote.
Well,
certainly, elderly are the most dependable demographic that votes.
Which then they're going to vote for Biden, which means they're voting for the chaos. And they're voting for all the violence we're seeing.
And that's why I doubt it.
Yeah.
That's why I still doubt that the numbers are correct.
Exactly.
I think there was some alienation. But that could also be an evolution of decision-making, too, that they haven't fully come to that decision on until they walk up to the
Because, I mean, it really does come down to the moment. It comes down to the moment that we're at as a nation. And, you know, the question is, do you believe COVID will be handled? And the answer by most Americans is yes, eventually we're going to solve that. But if we endorse the violence by electing the left and putting the left into power, how quickly do we solve that crisis?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Pilot Flying J Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Well, apparently, remember this story? This goes back to March of 2019.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A now being offered a lease at the San Antonio International Airport.
Oh, yeah.
Now that nobody's there.
Right. Yeah.
After the city decided ban the chicken chain from opening there last year, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said on Fox on Sunday that this decision sets a precedent for other cities. In March of 2019, city council officials rejected the restaurant's bid to open a new location in San Antonio International Airport due to the company's alleged legacy of anti-LGBTQ behavior.
Hmm.
Paxton explained that in 2019 that they had done that.
Mm-hmm.
He said that his office asked the Department of Transportation to investigate. That would be on the federal level
because
they're an airport.
Mm-hmm.
To investigate, and the result was they came back recently with a letter telling us that now San Antonio was offering a lease to Chick-fil-A.
Hmm.
Don't know what happened.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know what happened with the Department of Transportation, but when that happened, they said, okay, so.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah, they clearly, I guess, thought they wouldn't win the city of San Antonio. They weren't going to win.
Well, we didn't think.
And what statement do you make? And you know, it's funny because that's so 2018. What statement are you making in 2020 with a move like that against a Chick-fil-A, right?
I don't know. Now, have they endorsed cops?
Chick-fil-A or San Antonio? The city of San Antonio.
Chick-fil-A.
Because I don't know. I don't know either one.
Okay, I'm looking for a reason to ban Chick-fil-A. Right. Do they endorse cops?
Yeah. No, I think the call now is just to ban cops.
Hey, you know, what I wondered here, because I told you this, and it was just a thought.
Yeah.
There's a lot less security at NFL games because there's no fans.
Right.
Would there have been more cops boycotting the NFL this season because of it? Because cops work security at a lot of these games.
Oh, yeah.
And they use sheriff's departments and everything else that, you know, that come in to provide security. In fact, the federal government is involved in security in NFL games. Now,
sure. As we know. Yes. Right. Yeah, I wonder how many would boycott and say, no, I'm not doing that job.
It pays well.
Yeah, it's overtime.
Yeah, because I've got a friend who does that for the for the Cowboys.
Right.
So it from what I know, it pays pretty good.
Right.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah, I think
and with the, you know, Cowboys fans, I mean, it's so expensive to get tickets. You don't have rowdy people. You basically, you know, you've got what were the people's names from Gilligan's Island, Mr. Howell and Mrs. Howell.
Yeah.
Coming. That's all you have to deal with at a Cowboys game, because you need to be that rich in order to afford a ticket.
Yeah. Well, in Texas, even the rich get rowdy. I've seen it happen.
Is Texas.
Yeah, it is Texas.
Boy, that's a great stereotype.
Yeah.
I'm throwing out a ton of stereotypes here, aren't I? Why not? Everybody else is doing it. Why can't we?
Right. Yeah. No, I would think that there are some that look at it and say no. I think others would say, you know what, it's the job I do, and I do it for a reason, and you know, and if I'm going to get paid well to do it, then I'm not going to walk away from it. But it is, it's frightening, it's disheartening to see the reaction of what we saw in L.A. County and the Compton ambush over the weekend.
It is, yeah. You know, you look at, and I think it can. We were talking about the politics, because politics affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you said this doesn't help Biden at all, which is why I think the Biden campaign came out so strongly and said, not only did they say this was wrong, what happened, and shouldn't, they said, if you break the law, you'll go to jail.
Yeah.
He tweeted that out, and I went, whoa. Okay, here, and he, you know, he wants to come out stronger, so he's playing Izzy Mandelbaum.
Right.
From Seinfeld.
He wants to have a push-up contest.
I'm stronger than Trump.
Right.
Look at me, look at him. I'm in much better shape. I saw that. In fact, I do have to send that story to a friend of ours in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our Seinfeld aficionado.
Yeah. Yeah,
I got to send it to Emil, because it's...
It really is... that part of it is comical and laughable, but how do you go from, again, because I wonder, okay, now if he were going to visit Jacob Blake, would he say the same thing to Jacob Blake's family or Jacob Blake this week?
No, he wouldn't. No.
If you break the law, you're going to jail?
I think that they're to the point now. Think about this. You've heard nothing from the squad. Nothing.
Right.
I think they're at the point now where everybody's in line.
Mm-hmm.
That the talking points are all out there. Joe can say anything to get elected, and then we do what we need to do after November.
Right.
I think that's where they're at. That's why you don't hear.
Yeah, the squad remains quiet. Right. No protesting on Capitol Hill. No, none of this. Wait until after the election.
Thing is, though, they can't get that. They can't get that message to the protesters.
No, they can't.
That doesn't stop. So Joe.
But they'll have more flexibility after the election.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, but it's whether you believe him or not. But then they do stupid things, like we said, the Jacob Blake thing.
Yeah,
they do stupid things after that. And I don't know, you know, to say shooting the cops are bad probably is okay. But for him to say,
you mean with the protesters, with the violent people?
No, I mean with the party. With voters.
Yeah,
it's okay to say that. But is it okay?
That shooting the cops is a bad thing.
It's a bad thing.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they God, that's how warped
this is how you have to sort it on the left.
But it may not be okay to say, if you break the law, you go to jail.
Right.
Because then the Republicans come back and say, see, there he is, right back to 1994.
He went too far.
Right. He went too far. And,
shooting cops is wrong, but nobody should go to jail breaking the law.
Look, I'm sorry that...
No, but that's it.
I mean, look...
That's where you cross the line. You can't go any further than what you said. It's reprehensible that they were shot, and then you have to leave it at that if you're on the left. Otherwise, if you say, because we do go back to Jacob Blake, his VP pick said to Jacob Blake, we're proud of you.
Right.
And she didn't visit his alleged victim. That's our society today. That's the society on the left. So you can't take it. You can't take it that far. You can't say you got to go to jail. The former police chief in Dallas was talking that way, and now she's going to be, you know, out of a job.
Yeah, and you know, the police chief in Detroit, the mm-hmm. same thing. You know, he's says, no, I'm not going to. You know, the calls to resign, and mm-hmm. and he's no, I'm not going to do it. And then I saw yesterday that calls for the police commissioner, from what I know, in Detroit, Black, mm-hmm. and then calls for the Buffalo mayor, who is Black, mm-hmm. You know, to resign. I mean, there. You think about this. You have a significant portion of the police chiefs of the major cities that are being forced, you know, to leave are Black,
mm-hmm. right.
And there doesn't seem to be any outcry from the community at all. You know, the whole defunding the police. What you're seeing here is a Biden campaign looking at the polls. And they realize, look, you got to they probably look at what Harris said the other day. Look, you can visit Blake, but you can't say he's a hero or a hero. You can't say that we're proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say if you break the law, you go to jail. And as you first when I said that to you, you first thing you said was, does that include Jacob Blake? Would you say that to him?
Right.
And so they still have a problem with it because they can't go too far. And that's why I can actually ask a question that at any other time in our history, you'd say, you're being just a moron to ask that, McNamara. That's just a moronic question. But it's true. You have to ask it. Yeah, you can come out and say it's wrong to shoot cops. But as a Democrat, can you come out then in a separate statement and say, and if you break the law, we'll send you to jail?
Right.
And you and I looked at each other. We don't know. We don't know where the Democratic Party is right now.
Right.
And so it really comes down to, as we have said, we look at the polls. I was looking at the Fox News poll that showed that Trump had only 5% Black support, not even the 8% that he had then. Mm-hmm. You saw other polls showing he could get, 19-20%, that his favorability rating with Blacks is 20-45%. Something screwed up somewhere. The polls aren't that far off.
Right, right.
But as Rasmussen reports wrote over the weekend, Fox does their polls with live people interviewing you.
Mm-hmm.
People are not. It's just we don't do that. They do automation. It's all automation.
Right.
Asking the questions because people are not going to be honest with you when you're a live person. They said, that's why we don't do that. And they go, that's one of the problems that we disagree with the Fox polling is the way that they do it. If you want to do it, you got to make it, especially in this day and age, as anonymous as possible that people will answer.
Right.
Otherwise, they said, you're getting further from the truth. But I still think this comes down to how this develops, with basically, do we want a civil society where you have freedoms and your rights are protected, or do we want anarchy? I think that's the major thing. And then the other thing to throw in is coronavirus, how that is perceived mm-hmm. by, I said the elderly before, the seniors. Mm-hmm. By the way, stop being politically correct. I'm almost elderly myself in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all.
You're aging rapidly.
Who was it? What actress said over the weekend?
Hmm.
Yeah, looks are really important. And what's her name? Sharon Stone.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, she said, and you lose it really quick, and you notice it when you lose it.
Right.
I was ready.
Look in the mirror and go, oh, hello, how are you?
She was being serious, and I'm dying laughing reading the article. It's
like,
look, can I do anything about it? No. does my voice still sort of sound young? Yeah. Do I look like I'm almost going to be elderly? No. I look okay. So I got another 5 years. If I lose it by the time I'm 70, do I really care? Am I looking to go out and pick up chicks?
How old is she?
I don't know. Good point. I don't know how old she is.
Yeah.
It'd make us.
I mean, she's not 80.
No, she's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I understand as an actress, you're not going to get the same kind of roles, but you get other roles.
62.
All right. What's the last role she got, by the way? I have no idea.
I don't know. Look, Betty White was working into her 90s.
Oh, yeah. You take on different roles.
It isn't all about looks.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, if you love your craft, you go and you do it anytime that you can, and you take on whatever roles are appropriate.
Reels had the I Love Lucy thing on and said, you know, here this was a woman who was, you know, really attractive back when she was younger, mm-hmm. who became a clown.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't care.
I mean, the older she got, honestly, her makeup became more clownish if you look at it. And they kind of exaggerated it for television, obviously, and exaggerated it also to kind of highlight her features, which were naturally funny features because she was a physical comedian. She could extort. She could distort her face or extort her face. I don't know what the face has done wrong. I'm not sure. She could distort her face and make it funny.
Yeah, she could.
And so they would kind of over-exaggerate that with makeup. I mean, I can't imagine. And Betty White is as funny as the day is long.
Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, whatever they consider traditional beauty of women necessarily applies to the vast majority of films out there.
Right.
I think one of the best actresses out there, to at least in my opinion, and I like to see her in more like authoritative roles,
mm-hmm.
political roles. I think Kathy Bates is a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
I was going through the channels the other day and I came upon 2 and a Half Men and she was playing a dead Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
She was superb. Right. I mean, it was like greatness.
Well, it's all in the eyes. I mean, I don't know what Sharon Stone's looking for and what kind of role she's looking for, but I would think that if you had that opportunity and she's, you know, got a pretty big name, you know, she can get auditions with, I'm guessing, no issues, as long as she's willing to go out for other parts, right?
Right. You may not get the lead.
Yeah.
But you could still act and make money and have great parts.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know if I was an actor if I'd want the lead most of the time. I'd want the really interesting subparts.
Right, yes. And you find out the roles that are less glamorous have more texture and have a longer life in the memory of the fans, I think.
Yeah.
Quite often.
Look,
not always.
Looks doesn't matter in Hollywood. Steve Buscemi. Do I have to go any
further?
There
you go. He's still working today.
I know. 866-90-RED-EYE.
The Justice Department has charged 57 people so far with attempted theft of coronavirus relief funds. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Minute. The defendants are accused of fraudulently getting Paycheck Protection Program loans. Some business owners are accused of misspending, using the money for luxury goods. A federal court has rejected the Trump administration's effort to exclude undocumented immigrants from the census count. The court says the administration doesn't have the authority to do that. The census is used to distribute federal money and to allocate seats in the House of Representatives. The CEO of the mining company Rio Tinto has resigned, along with two other executives. They stepped down after Rio Tinto apologized for destroying a 46,000-year-old archaeological site in Australia. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Minute.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, hang on. We'll get to some of your calls and comments coming up following the bottom of the hour if you want to get in. 866-90. Red Eye, also coming up, Sidney Powell on Fox Business News over the weekend. Sidney Powell is the lawyer for Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
And in response to Chuck Grassley saying, who was in response to William Barr saying that, you know, more indictments may be coming down, Grassley was the strongest I've ever heard him saying that the American people need to know what happened before the election.
Right.
And people need to be indicted. There are people that broke the law here. So we'll get to that and more of your calls and comments coming up. On we've spent a lot of time on the shooting in Los Angeles and the two police officers that were ambushed style shot. We don't know why, but it was a response afterwards that has clearly been created by the Democrats and the Black Lives Matter message that cops are racist.
Here's your forecast.
Tropical Storm Sally in the Gulf of Mexico is expected to make landfall as a hurricane later this afternoon. From New Orleans over to Florida, officials and residents alike are preparing for the major impacts of upwards of 20 inches of rain being forecast, especially right around New Orleans. It's shaping up to be a storm that appears to have potential deadly impact. Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama can expect major flooding throughout the next week. Some much-needed rain will be arriving in portions of the Pacific Northwest, including western Washington and Oregon. Nothing in the way of precip for California, though. Hot and humid, with rain chances across the Deep South extending into the southern plains of East Texas. The rest of the nation, from the Northeast to the Midwest and back into the central and northern plains, will be dry today. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by the TruckSmart mobile app from Travel Centers of America. Download TruckSmart today to get what you need when you need it.
Social Outcasts, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
Yeah. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. I want to go to this audio from over the weekend. Kevin McDonald from Fox Business News talking to Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn's attorney. First, she played an audio clip from Chuck Grassley, Senator Grassley, talking about the fact that he wants indictments, and this is in reference to William Barr saying there may be, you know, he's not discounting that more indictments might not be coming down. But it was really just an interesting conversation as she goes through, sort of wraps up the whole Peter Strzok book tour last week. That was pretty short, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder how many copies that sold.
Don't know.
Because I have to ask, what kind of sucker would buy Peter Strzok's book?
Well, you already know what's pretty much know what's going to be in it, right?
Yeah.
What would be the tell-all?
There really was none, was there?
There isn't.
Yeah, there was no tell-all coming.
Because if there were, we would hear it. Yeah. We would have seen it last week.
That's a great point. All right, here we go. Here's part of it. Here.
Now, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley getting really fired up, telling us last night he believes General Flynn was entrapped by the FBI, according to government documents, and he wants people who violated the law in the Trump, Russia, and Flynn probes prosecuted. Watch this.
Just to show you that there's unequal justice here in Washington, D.C., McCabe lied two or three times, and he's never been prosecuted. And Flynn was entrapped, and he's prosecuted, and it's probably cost him millions and millions of dollars to defend himself. I wish I could tell you when Durham's going to do more prosecution like the one he's already prosecuted. But I want to make very clear, I would like to have people that violated the law to be prosecuted. But the most important thing is between now and November 3rd, all of this information ought to be out for the voters' consideration of how unjustly the Trump campaign was spied on in the first place, and all the undercover things, including lying to the FISA court to spy on that campaign. This thing cannot happen. And we got to make sure the people know it before the election.
Okay, there's Chuck Grassley.
Yeah.
We'll get Sidney Powell cut here in a little bit, but you could tell he's just, and she just went after and said, you know, talked about, Sidney Powell talked about, you know, Strzok lying. She goes, "You're just, come on, he lied. Him calling anybody else a liar?" He said he changed the 302.
Right. Exactly.
You want to lie?
Yeah.
So,
and no mention of the 302 in the, in the book, right?
No, that was one of the questions that he... I don't know if there was a question of the 302 in the book, but I know he didn't address it in any of the interviews.
Right. And certainly that would have come out. If it was addressed in the book, we'd know it by now.
Yes. Yeah, we would. Let's head to you as we talk about the NFL, cops, and more. Let's go to Nick in Chicago. Nick, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, guys, thanks for help get me through midnights tonight.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm a second-generation colorblind cop. I just want to bring up an issue here that I think is pretty important and pretty prevalent. Resisting is a choice. It's not a constitutional right. And once that individual resists, then that causes a use of force. And use of force never looks pretty. And what the public needs to understand is they have to remove from their minds what they think force should look like, because a lot of times that doesn't solve the problem. Thanks for doing what you guys do.
Oh,
all right. Thanks, Nick. No, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for being out there. You know, you just reminded me of something by what you said. I want to, and I'm trying to find it here. The NAACP chapter president, Talbert Swan, who said, there's no such thing as blue lives. Stop comparing your job to my life. Your career is is a choice. My blackness isn't. Black Lives Matter. Blue Lives Matter. Hashtag. No one deserves to be unjustly murdered, police or citizens. If you've expressed outrage over the shooting of two sheriff's deputies, but were defending Kyle Rittenhouse murdering two protesters in Kenosha only days ago, you need to shut up and have a seat. And as we said, well, that's ridiculous for him to say, because they're two separate incidents, and you judge them by the merits of what you know so far.
Right.
And what we know of the sheriff's deputies being shot in Los Angeles, it was ambush style.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other indication that it was not, because you can see on video, you can see the man walking up from a significant, you know, or the person walking up from a significant distance behind.
Right.
So, I mean, it was without question an ambush. There are a lot of questions to be asked about Rittenhouse, as we have said before.
Sure.
From the motivation to the timing, you know, to the exact timing, to the sequence of how everything happened.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to make that, again, he's making assumptions, which leads you to what? It leads you to, he's making assumptions, which leads you to stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can sit there and say, look, I think the Rittenhouse thing is completely different. From what I know of evidence, I can safely say the Rittenhouse thing, what he's guilty of, I don't know. Could he be guilty of murder? He might be. Might it be self-defense? Yeah. I don't know, because I don't have the sequence. And it was, when you have that many people, there are many moving parts to it. In the ambush shooting, extremely easy to see what happened in that particular case.
Right.
So to compare the two, number one, is not a responsible action.
No, it's just like jumping out in any case saying, well, this happened and that happened, and we're going to protest or we're going to riot as a result of what we believe happened without knowing the facts.
But when you come to, when we talk about, you know, other incidents, other police shootings that have happened that have enraged Black Lives Matter, where they claim that it's racist, when there is no evidence of racism at all, understand that the vast majority of those, the vast, vast, vast majority, there was obvious resistance and fighting with police. So to answer the NAACP chapter president, Talbert Swan, it's not their blackness, it's their behavior.
Right.
Just like you say, well,
Blue Lives isn't a person. It's a choice. It's a behavior. You're right. It is a choice, and is a behavior that they are involved in when these incidents happen. Same thing for the person. Doesn't matter what their skin color is, but in this case, he's making the case for blacks. You don't see incidents where a cop pulls up, pulls a gun out, and just shoots a person for doing nothing.
Right.
That doesn't happen. Behavior, not skin color, is a key motivation here.
Yep. It is something that I think you, you quickly get away from, because the diversion tactics are at play at every turn. You know, diverting from the actual facts in a case, diverting from the differences in the facts between two cases. Like what we saw, again, play out with the L.A. Deputies and what happened with Rittenhouse. Those are two very separate situations.
Mm-hmm.
And but those comparisons are there time after time after time. We're not going to make a judgment one way or the other in a case involving either a police officer involved shooting or a civilian like Rittenhouse if we don't know the facts. When what you saw over the weekend in L.A. County was clear, you know enough about that situation to know exactly what that was. That was an ambush. Pure and simple.
And sometimes the evidence is clear. Remember the South Carolina police officer that shot the guy and killed him who was running?
Yep.
There was enough video you could say, no, he was wrong.
Right.
Without question.
At the very first, before the entire video came out, we said the only way things could change is if there was another video that showed the man who was running, if he had turned around and pointed a gun or something like that. But when you got the complete video, when the complete video was available, there was no question.
No, there was no question at all. And that's why we said that one was, pretty easy to come to a conclusion. And it's pretty easy, you have to wonder what the motivation is, but it's pretty easy to look and be able to get a sense of what happened in the ambush of the two sheriffs. Now, with the actual intent of the shooter, we don't know. And we haven't claimed to know. What we have attacked today is to attack vehemently and passionately because it's the culture that is being formed by legitimizing the big lie that systemic racism exists in police departments to kill and hunt down and kill blacks. That's what you see. That's where you see a group of people that go and protest and block an emergency room door and scream, "We hope they die."
Right.
That didn't happen a year ago.
No.
That didn't happen 6 months ago. That came after the narrative was promoted by Black Lives Matter, the Democratic Party, and then legitimized by being embraced and normalized by major corporations and the vast majority of professional sports leagues out there.
Yep.
That's what happens. That's the danger that is created.
And it was inevitable it was going to get to that point.
Yeah. When you deal in lies to create racial divisiveness, when you deal in hate, and that's what these corporations and sports leagues are now dealing in, that's the result. That's what you see. People feel emboldened because, hey, we're not alone.
Well, and the great risk is, of course, that this turns in this reaction. If it is not condemned, if the truth is not put out there, if the lie is not contested, then this reaction to what you saw at that hospital over the weekend then becomes essentially the doorway to more violence against police officers.
It should be universally condemned by sports leagues and major corporations, not endorsed.
Right.
And don't give me that. You know, it's the whole thing, like the whole thing. Well, you know, there's Black Lives Matter, the group. Black Lives Matter, the group, existed way before Black Lives Matter, the movement. There was a good idea of what Black Lives Matter, the group, stood for before the movement decided to embrace, and the media, to embrace the same wording and the same title.
Yeah.
Does everybody in black, because this is the point that Mark Cuban tries to make weekly. Well, everybody in the movement doesn't, by the way, everybody in the movement doesn't, have the same thoughts as the people in Black Lives Matter. No, but they embrace the same lie.
Yep.
That does what? That creates racial divisiveness. They deal in promoting hate. That's their goal. Because otherwise you would know, well, is this true or not? You'd investigate. Ignorance doesn't cut it. Saying, well, we don't know, doesn't cut it.
You continue to tell the lie that officers are out there, and it's systemic in this nature, that they are out there and they are hunting African-Americans and trying to kill them.
Yep.
You do that, you're going to put a great number of people on notice and expect that there will be violence as a result of it. And that's exactly what we're seeing. You have the corporations getting behind it and repeating the lie, and so right. You have an all-out mainstream endorsement of the lie.
And for those, and the first response will be, well, as I've said, remember, well, Black Lives Matter, the group, we're not part of that. You name yourself after them. They had existed for a significant period of time. They drove this entire movement. Don't think we're stupid. And then for the corporations that will come out, or the NBA, or the, well, no, we just said systemic racism. We didn't say systemic racism to kill cops. That's the message.
Right.
That's where the message came from. Systemic racism did not exist in the allegation if it wasn't for systemic racism to hunt down and kill blacks.
Yep.
That's what it was targeted at. Now they want to play stupid. No, sorry. You can't play that game with us. And there isn't systemic racism either, in general, in police departments.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, we'll get to more of your calls and comments. And I do have that Sidney Powell audio all set and ready to go. Coming up following the top of the hour, she talked to Sidney Powell, the lawyer for Michael Flynn.
Right.
And she responds to Chuck Grassley and Attorney General William Barr last week, saying there may be more indictments coming down. So that coming up. You saw that Oracle won that bid to purchase TikTok.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
That's out of the way. What do they pay, I wonder?
I don't know. Probably a couple of bucks.
Okay.
I mean, you could argue that TikTok went from zero to household name in a very short period of time in terms of social media. So it's going to definitely carry a hefty price tag. I'm going to guess somewhere around 2 to 5 billion, but I don't know.
I'm reading from thehill.com.
I didn't see it.
Nor in the story does it
purchase
say what
price was either. But they agreed on something. So, yeah. Don't know what that is. But it's in the billions, I'm sure. Not a bigger name right now in terms of with the kids. Oh, now yeah. I sound like a senior. Yeah. But no, TikTok has been huge in terms of growth for this year. So you can bet it's a hefty price tag.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.